Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. This is the reading of God's word. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, the two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and also other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so that our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, bless us that through your word that we will have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. Let us give all the glory and thanksgiving. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly and we will all hear and understand and believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you. We love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was with his disciples, said many, many times that he will die on the cross and resurrect from the dead in 3 days. Let's just look at two such places, Luke chapter 18, verse 32 and 33. "For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And the third day, he will rise again." Luke chapter 9, verse 22, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." So we come to chapter 24. And when we read this chapter, we see that he does rise from the dead on the third day, just as he has said. So today, and the next two more times, let us look at the topic of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at verses 1 through 12 of this chapter. That's what we're going to do today. The next time, we will look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ in terms of God's redemptive history. And finally, as we conclude this section, verses 1 through 12, we will look at the meaning and the significance of our Lord's resurrection. But today, let's look at the text. We begin verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. The first day of the week, meaning the Lord's Day. More and more, this sinful world wants to make the Lord's Day the weekend, way at the end. The Bible calls it the first day of the week. It used to be when you buy a calendar, you didn't even have to like worry about it. It's always the first day. But now when you buy a certain calendar, Lord's Day is way at the end. And even this kind of thing, you gotta wonder who is behind all this. It's not weekend. Today is not weekend. Today is the beginning of the week. Anyway, Jesus has resurrected on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, to witness to us that the new creation has been accomplished. And we'll see more and more about that. It says, at early dawn. And I don't have to explain that. They, meaning the woman whom we met in chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 55. Now the woman who had come with him, meaning with Jesus, out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Chapter 24, verse 10 says, now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them were telling these things to the apostles. So these women brought the spices which they had prepared. We read this already, Luke 23, verse 56. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. So they come to the tomb with the spices and perfume. And they come, and we see verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, Mark chapter 16, verse 3 and 4 says, they, women, were saying to one another, as they were coming to the tomb, they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And Matthew 28, verse 2 tells us how the stone had been rolled away. It says, and behold, a severe earthquake has occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. So if you put all this different books together, we'll have a better picture of what is happening. And Matthew 28, verse 3 says, and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the men who were guarding the tomb, remember we saw how they were afraid that the disciples will come and steal the body of Christ, so they put guards. And those men, Matthew 28, verse 4, the guards shook for fear of him because they saw angel and became like dead men. But we come back to Luke. The women also arrive at the tomb and they actually go inside. Verse 3, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And verse 4 says, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. Now, we see two men, but Luke tells us later that these two men are angels. Luke chapter 24, verse 23, and they did not find his body. They came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Now, Matthew focuses on just one angel. He only talks about one angel. And Mark also mentions just one angel, a young man wearing a white robe. But John tells us that when Mary Magdalene looked into the tomb, John 20 verse 12, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head of and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. So as you can see, Luke and John focuses on two angels together, but Matthew and Mark just focus on one angel. And also, Matthew tells us first the view from the outside of the tomb. And the others tell us the view of the inside the tomb a little later. Now, these are not the proofs that the Bible contradicting itself. The authors are looking at the things in different perspectives. And that's all it is. And yet, so many non-believers make big deal out of this kind of stuff. The woman who went to the tomb were perplexed because they did not find the body of Christ. And they were also afraid to see two angels suddenly stood near from near them in dazzling clothing. So you could see that these women actually went there to seek the dead body of Jesus Christ. And they were perplexed, even though Jesus is alive again. See, they were perplexed when they should be joyous. If they knew exactly what happened, if they know the truth, then they should be joyous. And yet, they are not. See, they could not see what is going on around them with faith. They could not believe in the promises of Jesus Christ. They heard his promises that he will rise up. But they just could not believe it. See, this is what happens if we look at things only by the perspective of this world. We will be perplexed, even though we should be joyous. We will be afraid. Why? Because we just do not know the truth. And this is always the case. Why are Christians afraid? Because they do not know the truth and they don't believe it. And this is exactly what is happening. I mean, picture it. These women, they were perplexed and afraid, even though Jesus is alive. Completely don't know what is going on. And I'm afraid that so many Christians are the same way. They just don't know what has happened. The true meaning of what Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished, they just don't know. And they don't believe it, even when they hear it. Not only that, you might even be angry. but we'll talk about that more later. When we read John chapter 20, it tells us that Mary Magdalene was crying outside the tomb. Again, if you do not know the truth, only thing you might be doing is crying. So when you are crying in this world, ask yourself, why? Because that's exactly, Mary was asked that question, why are you crying? Because Jesus was alive, he was resurrected, and he's living, and yet Mary just crying and crying, not knowing what is going on. Yeah, we should all cry if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, of course. But he did resurrect from the dead, so why is Mary crying? He has accomplished your salvation, perfect salvation. He gave you the whole heavenly world, and he gave you himself. And he said, do not worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. That he lives in us, and he cares for us, and he guides us. And yet we just cry. As if he's not doing any of it. It's when you don't know the truth and when you don't believe. Perhaps that's the only thing you could do when you don't believe and you don't know what's going on. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. So if Christ has not been raised, the Bible tells us that we are of all men most be pitied. The angel said to the woman who are afraid, Luke 24, verse 5, and as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, so why are you seeking him coming to the tomb? The tomb has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Jesus anymore. Verse 6 through 9, he is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Oh, sweet words here. He is not here, but he has risen. Even though they are looking at the empty tomb, they still do not know what has happened. And this is very important, you guys. And we're going to talk about this more later. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The faith comes from faith. Faith comes from hearing the word. Later, we will see that they actually meet Jesus, the resurrected Jesus with glorified body, and they would not recognize him. And here they see empty tomb and they don't get it. It doesn't click. Because faith comes from hearing the word, not seeing. Even if you see risen Lord, you will not believe. And you will see how these people, they're looking at Jesus who is resurrected, and yet they don't know who he is. Remember how he spoke to you, the angel said to the woman. Because faith is all about believing his word. One must understand his word. Only then one will know what is truly happening and what has been accomplished. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, he or she will believe. John chapter 20, verse 9. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. When you believe, even though you did not see, then what are you believing? Well, you believe in God's word. You did not see all these things happen, and yet you believe because you believe his word. It's not because you saw, but because you heard his word. And this is the method that God has chosen for his people to have faith. But it is faith that God gives. And by that faith, you will keep on believing and faith will grow. And when we read the rest of the Luke 24, we will see how Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit, teach and make them understand God's word. And only then, disciples will believe. And they have courage now, even willing to die and go out and witness Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he, meaning Jesus, was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Luke chapter 24, verse 45, then he, Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And this is what happened to you. It's not because you saw anything, but you heard his word taught, being taught to you, preached to you. And while that was happening, Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, he opened your heart to understand the scripture. He's working in you. And this is God's method. So it was always about preaching the word. I don't stand here trying to show you something so you could actually see it. Because even if these people saw risen Christ, they didn't get it. They didn't even recognize it was Jesus. The Son of Man must on the third day rise again. It seems Jesus is saying here that he himself will raise himself. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. But, as you know, the Bible in many, many places also tell us that it is the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. Acts chapter 3, verse 15. But put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. Acts chapter 5, verse 30, the God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom you have put to death by hanging him on a cross. Now the woman remembered the word of Jesus. And that's the key point. Because even when they were inside the tomb, looking at the empty tomb, didn't know what goes on. But angels tell them, do you remember the word he has spoken to you? And they now remember the word of Jesus. Just like what we will see in chapter 24, verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. The same thing is happening to this woman. Thus, chapter 24, verse 9, and woman returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they believe. So now they go and tell the people that Jesus is actually risen from the dead. Matthew 28, verse 8, and they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And although Mark tells us that they were trembling, and astonishment had gripped them that they said nothing to anyone. But eventually, if you keep reading, they did tell the others. And even Mary Magdalene, who was crying outside the tomb, John chapter 20, verse 18, Mary came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. And Matthew 28, verse 9 tells us that Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead, met the woman and greeted them. And there is a story that we only find in Matthew, and I will just read to you for reference. Matthew 28, verse 11 through 15. Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. So, you know, those guards who were so scared to see angels, they actually went into the city and told the chief priest what had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews, and is to this day. So I do read time to time from the commentaries about this, that it was disciples who stole the body of Christ and spread these rumors. And people believe. Because think about it, what is easier to believe? Believe that disciples stole the body or that he was actually raised from the dead? If you don't have faith, obviously you will believe that he's still dead, but it was disciples who stole the body. Luke chapter 24, verse 11 and 12. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. So the woman, by the grace of God, started to believe. But the disciples still did not believe. These words appeared to them as nonsense. This is not to say that the disciples now flat out rejected Jesus. That's not what he's saying. But they were just not able to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. The word that has been translated as a nonsense, some translates it as the idle tale. But it is actually a medical term. One is so sick and has a mental derangement that he or she speaks and in delirium. They don't know what they're saying because they're so sick. The disciples thought that women were like this. But if you think about it, this is how this sinful world reacts to Jesus' resurrection from the dead story. Because to them, that person cannot rise from the dead. Period. But they don't know God. God who could create the whole universe by just saying the words. If you could believe Genesis 1, you could believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. But again, it's the work of God. He's the only one who could make us believe. This is why we're so thankful and grateful when you find yourself believing in these things. Because you understand that it's not you. It was God who made you believe. That's why the thankfulness fills your heart. But of course, disciples believed this later. And we're going to read about it in the rest of chapter 24. But here we could see that the woman believed before the disciples. Clearly, the Old Testament has passed away. The new era has come. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3-8. Let's try to summarize what we did and end this. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as the one untimely born, he appeared to me also. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a historical event for which there are so many eyewitnesses. They saw risen Lord. Unless that all those people lied to us, making false witnesses, that this historical event, he has risen from the dead. There are so many eyewitnesses according to the Bible. But what you need to understand as you see Jesus resurrected from the dead, that with him, you and I, we are also resurrected. Of course, only our spirits are resurrected at this time, because our physical bodies will resurrect when Jesus comes back. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all change." But when you see Jesus resurrected from the dead, you need to also see yourself, your spirit, resurrected with him from the dead. And the body, the resurrection of the body will follow. Let me repeat, just like how we saw our own death in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must see our own resurrection in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not just imagination. God is not just saying, imagine that you did this. It's an actual event that our spirits have resurrected with Christ. And that will show itself when you become a Christian. We must believe. We have died with Christ and we have been resurrected with Christ. And please don't think as some kind of, you know, imagination that we have to have in our heart for us to be Christians. This is an actual happening that happened to us. We have died with Christ and we have been resurrected with Christ. Of course, again, our physical resurrection will happen when Jesus comes back, but our spiritual resurrection is our already accomplished, present, eternal reality. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, "Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You could see that all those tenses are past, meaning that he's telling us that it already happened. It's not about what will happen in the future. It already happened. God has already raised us up with Jesus Christ. And you need to believe that, so that you could believe that your body will also resurrect when Jesus comes back. Our bodies will resurrect to a glorified body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. "Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." So clearly said that this humble body that we have, it will transform to the glorious body that Jesus has right now. So our bodies will be his body. It will be just like his body. That body will never die, never get sick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 through 20 and 23. "If we have hope in Christ in this life only, that you trusted Christ so that you could gain things in this life only, then we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who are asleep. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming." So there's an order that God has set. Jesus will rise again, arise from the dead first. Then all those people who are united to him when he's coming for the second time. Thus, Christianity clearly teaches us that both body and spirit, the whole man, is saved from sin and from death. See, some philosophies out there will tell you that spirit is good, but body is bad. And I even hear this kind of stuff in the church. Not our church, but church. Somehow they say things like, oh, if I die, then I will be free from my sinful body. And somehow body is always bad and spirit is just good. No, that's not what the Bible teaches us. When we sin, both body and spirit, they are both bad. And when we're saved, they're both saved. Spirit first and body later, but, you know, even the body is later going to be resurrected, but it is still, at this moment, united to Christ. So, Christianity teaches us the whole man, body and spirit. We are saved. And as a perfect man, both body and spirit will go to heaven and live with Christ forever and ever. See, this is why Paul has said, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and even to die is gain. And we say, amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and thanksgiving that as the first fruit, he has already rise from the dead, even his body. And we see what will happen to our bodies when we see that Jesus, his body and spirit, human spirit, of course, that was raised up from the dead. That his resurrection is our resurrection. So, Father, teach us in the coming weeks What is the meaning of his resurrection in terms of our lives? That what is the meaning when we say that his resurrection is our resurrection? So that we may live by faith. And we thank you, God, for teaching us that you will not leave us in our unbelief, that you will not leave us while our faith is so little. But just like what we read in chapter 24, you will come to us and you will teach us and you will make us understand. You will open our hearts so that we may know and understand your words. So that we may know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We thank you, God, and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.